If you would, turn with me to Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4, and I want to read verses 9 and 10. I'll give you a minute to find it. Zechariah 4. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. When we read of small things here, it's not talking about God being small, necessarily, I might add. And I will clarify this later on. When we read of the God of Scripture, we read things such as everything that was created by Him and for Him.
Amen.
And there was nothing that was created that wasn't created by Him. We read of a God that is omnipotent. That word means God is sovereign over all things.
Yes, sir.
We read of Jesus Christ that if you were to write everything about Jesus Christ, there would not be enough books in the world to contain it all. The God of Scripture is not small. However, this God does deal with small things,
yes,
or in small ways, if you will. And there will be rejoicing by those who are small. They will rejoice in what He does. We see in Scripture where God deals with small things. And I want to go through Scripture today and talk about some of those things. This word here for small things means least, less, or little. So let's look at small things in Scripture. Let's start by looking at what Scripture talks about as one of the smallest things you can think of. And if Scripture says something is small, that means God says something is small. In most of the cases, it indicates that God says these things. But let's read Isaiah 40, 15 through 17. You don't have to turn to that. It's very familiar to you. Isaiah 40, 15 through 17. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. When we read this passage, it's kind of like reading that passage in Romans where Paul tells us that the lump that we all came from, that one that we're all the same lump. Mankind born of Adam as one lump, and that lump is so small and insignificant. God tells us here that we are not only a drop in the bucket, but we are less than nothing. Even though this is true, yet we as we are born in Adam think our way is big. We actually think we are big, and that we matter. We love our way and we think our way is the best. And there's a little truth to that our way is big. The Scripture says there is a broad way that leadeth to destruction. That broad way is everyone by nature, being a part of this lump, having turned everyone to their own way. In our sight, our way is big. Our way is so insignificant and small, though, that it in no way affects God one way or the other. A drop in the bucket will be of no benefit to anyone, and the small dust of the balance does not change the scales one way or the other. What does affect God is God. It is His weights and balances that are sure and right, and we went through that before. It is His plummet He has in His hand, and the building He will build, although it might be small, it will be perfectly created.
Yes.
Seeing this in Scripture, that this is so, there are some small things that our sovereign God has set His sights on. There are small things that our God that He has set His sight on, but we read of those who are chosen by God are the following type of people in 1 Corinthians 1:25-28. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. So when we read this, we know that if there are any wise, any mighty, and any noble, and that is wise, mighty, and noble in this world, not wise compared to God, but if there are any of these that God has been pleased to call, it is a very small number. Because it says, not many. But even the rest of those He calls who make up the larger portion of those called are very small and insignificant. It says, most that God calls are foolish, weak, base, and despised, and things that are not. The ones God calls are nothings. But we read in Scripture in our text when it comes to what God does, we are not to despise small things. A small number of wise, mighty, and noble are not to be despised, because it is God that calls. The small number of nothings that God calls is not to be despised. This world despises those small things God has blessed. But may it not be that God's people despise anything that He is building. As we read, the nations are as a small drop in the bucket. As small as the nations are to God, even to that smallest, God pulls out a remnant.
Yes, sir.
A small piece from the whole, that's what a remnant is. God will make His power known in small things. And if you would, turn with me to Judges 7 for a minute. Judges 7. Judges 7, verses 1 through 7, I want to read. Judges 7, 1 through 7, we will see the intention of God here. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth up the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. As small as we are, we have great pride. And God will have none of it. God will deal with small things so that we might know the power is of Him and not of ourselves. We've read in Scripture God reserved unto himself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal, Romans 11:3-4. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Elias thinks he is by himself. But God has reserved other people that Elias didn't know about. Those who have not bowed down to this world's religion, that religion of Baal. But what does it go on to say in verse 5? Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. It is of God's choosing and this choosing by his grace. And this choosing was a small part of the whole. There is but a small remnant even now today. There is a small number who are chosen of God. It's manifested all the time. We are a small group here, and we gather in a small place. We are not alone, though. There's not a place that, when you consider all that this world is and has, there's not a place who bow to the sovereign God that has many compared to the world. This smallness tells us or manifests to us, just as it did in Gideon's time, that the power and glory all goes to God. Because he is triumphant in small numbers. It's not about us. It's about the God we serve. He will show his power in small things. Even those whom he has called, this remnant, we read of things in the Scripture such as this, Matthew 8:26. And this is Christ speaking. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Christ tells us in Scripture in Luke 17:6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. The faith which we have, though it might be in small measure, the faith is not small itself. But Christ measures it out in small measure. That measure which he sees fit to give. I do wish I had more faith. But I know the pride that is in me, and if Christ gave me more, I would be prone to think something of myself. Here's what I take from this. If God gives me faith, though it may be small in measure, I am given that which he has been pleased to give me, and I am blessed to have faith at all. Were it not for him giving me this faith, then I would have no faith at all.
Right.
I said previously that when we read of small things here, it's not talking about God being small necessarily. Now, I want to explain what I meant by that. God is not small. God is so great that he cannot be fathomed with our puny small minds. He cannot be comprehended by us, other than by his power and grace given to us in him opening our understanding and revealing some things to us in his word. You will know nothing of God apart from Scripture, and you will know nothing of it unless he reveals it to you. He must open our understanding because we are incapable of doing it on our own. God has chosen small things to make his power known. Our text in Zechariah, when it speaks of Zerubbabel, it is speaking of or is a picture of Jesus Christ doing the building. Christ portrays himself in his word as a particular something, though. And I've just picked one verse out of many that this word is in, but Revelation 7:10. And it's in the middle of a thought, but it's one word that I want to get to here. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. That word for Lamb means lambkin. Lambkin means, as Walter pointed out a long time ago, if you all remember this, but a lambkin is a small or young lamb. Salvation has come to those whom our Lord calls, this small remnant. Salvation comes to them through a small lamb. Let us not despise small things. Let us not despise the day of small things. Jesus Christ came into this world and made himself of no reputation. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 7 we read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Jesus Christ is the self-made man. He had the power and the right to be made whatever he wanted to. But he chose to make himself of no reputation. He made himself small. The word there in Philippians for no reputation means to make empty. He could have made himself a rich king who had servants that did all his bidding, anything that he wanted to do. But he did not do this. He made himself a nothing, a small thing, a little lamb. As we read last week, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. This is how he chose to build his house. I believe that in Zechariah that it's talking about Jesus Christ building his church. I know in Zechariah it's specifically talking about the rebuilding of the temple. But the greater meaning of that is building the building that he would build, which is his church. He would do this by himself. And he would do it being a little lamb. What did Christ tell the Jews in John 2, 19 through 21? Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Jesus Christ, the little lamb, would be slain, slaughtered by wicked men. He would die under the wrath and judgment of God. But in 3 days he would raise again. And for his people, this was a raising to justification of life. Meaning this, by him raising, having paid their sin debt, he by his own justice satisfied the demands of God's law. When he raised to life, he manifest that it was just for him to then give his people life from the dead. This is how he could be just and the justifier of them that believe, Joe. He has the plummet, and he uses it the right way to build a building that will stand. As Walter pointed out last week, this world does not want to bow down to a little lamb. One that made himself nothing, that he might redeem them that are under the law. This was a day of small things. A little lamb was slain and sacrificed for his people. I don't want to despise the day of small things. This day with this self-made small thing was so large, it saved his people to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Yes. Uttermost is large. We can say it like this. What Christ did for his people was this little, and what this little lamb did for his people was to save them to a definite place or point. And this point was fully, wholly and completely, or all the way. The little lamb, who is a great God, did big things for his people. What have you and I done? What you and I have done is break God's law. His law tells us that. The X-ray of the law, it tells us that we have done or not done what the law demands. It condemns us. But then the little lamb shows us how bad that sin was. The doing and not doing of the law was. It shows us how bad of not doing or doing the law was. What I have done is evidenced by what he had to do. He had to go to the cross and be put to death by wicked hands, suffering many things, and be forsaken of God the Father. I know this world around this time of year wants to talk about Jesus. But the Jesus they talk about The Jesus they confess is a Jesus who accomplished nothing. They talk about a Jesus who did all he could do, and now it's up to you. If you cling to that Jesus, you will perish. The only Jesus we can count on, because the Jesus in the Scripture is none other than God Almighty made himself, who made himself small. This he did to accomplish something. He saved those whom he chose to the uttermost. This world has their giants. Not small things, but they have their giants. Remember David and Goliath? This is what God Almighty has put in his word to represent how he does things. A small man using a small weapon, not can or will put down the enemy, but he has defeated the enemy with small things. God defeats his enemies with a mere breath from his nostrils. Job 4:9 says, by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. That's all it takes. It takes no effort on God's part to vanquish his enemies. God blesses his people in small things. It takes no effort on his part to convey these blessings on his people. It is in this little Lamb of God where we find everlasting blessing to his people. Because the little Lamb was slaughtered on the remnant's behalf, they are free to serve him in newness of life. What do we read about that small piece of the whole in Micah 7:18? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Do not despise what might seem to be small and insignificant, because God uses small things to bless abundantly. Isaiah 46:2 through 5, we read, they stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? And compare me that we may be like. We've seen in Scripture that where Jesus Christ will use something small and insignificant to bless people greatly. The small things he uses will be enough. Now, I do not want to say what I'm about to read is not necessarily something that was done for his people. Christ did this even for those who would forsake him. But our Lord, just as he did in creation, can take nothing and make something. So if you would, turn with me to John 6. John 6. John 6, verses 9 through 12. John 6, verses 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. So what am I trying to say today? A small thing with God as it concerns his people is a great thing. By that I mean it is a large thing when done by the God who is great. We have a small building, but by the grace of God we have had in this small building the sound of the gospel for many years. We are a small number, but we are promised that the great God we serve is right here in the midst of us, so we are not left alone. We may be small in number, But by His grace and Him giving us small blessings, we have been enabled to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. It's a great blessing just to be able to get here this morning. And that's a great blessing, isn't it, to come hear the gospel? God has said that His word will not return unto Him void. Just because we may not hear about it does not mean His word is not doing anything. His word will accomplish that for which He has sent it forth to do. Whether it be blessing or condemnation, it accomplishes what He has sent it forth to do. The God we serve is both small and great. He is the little lamb, but He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
If He is the one building the building, then the small thing you have is a great thing merely because of the one doing it. There was no greater blessing that He could bestow upon us than to take my sins in His own body, and the little Lamb of God who was slaughtered for my offenses, He was raised for my justification. How great and how large is that? It is enough, is what it is. Not too much, not too little, it's just enough. It is a perfect building, and that causes me to rejoice. There is a reason for rejoicing, because He has built the building.
Amen.
God's people are a small lot, but the God we serve is not small. He made Himself small to deliver a people. But He now sits on His throne. He is in absolute sovereign control. His building will be perfect because He is the foundation of it all. They rejoice because they see the plummet in His hand. Amen. Dear old God, we're all too often not thankful, dear Lord, for the things that You do for us, give us, dear Lord, but cause us, dear Lord, to be thankful to You, thinking of Your Son and what He has done for us, dear Lord. Thank You, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.